From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And this morning, we continue our series looking at the issues and candidates in mayoral races across Illinois. This time, we're focusing on Chicago. Now, I want to say, I have my own reasons for thinking Chicago politics matters to the rest of Illinois. But our show is normally focused on downstate, and there's plenty of media coverage of Chicago as it is. So we asked members of our texting group what they thought about including this in our mayoral series. Tana in Menard County said, "We downstate cannot do without the proceeds of the tax base of Chicago and the collar counties." And Ryan in Champaign said, "While downstate is most relevant to me, I do want to know what's going on in Chicago." Gene in Champaign, however, said, "I would be happier if Chicago was state number 51 and we got rid of its influence over the rest of the state. Most states with large metro areas would likely be better off if the metro areas were governed separately from the rest of the state." Since that's not likely anytime soon, if ever, we are pressing ahead. This time around, there are 9 candidates in the Chicago mayoral primary. They are, in no particular order, activist Jamal Green, Alderwoman Sophia King, State Representative Cam Buckner, businessman Willie Wilson, Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson, former Chicago Public Schools CEO Paul Vallis, incumbent Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Alderman Roderick Sawyer, and Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia. Chicago mayoral races have been interesting for a while now, though that wasn't always the case. An entire generation of Chicagoans only remembers seeing Richard M. Daley in the position until Rahm Emanuel was elected in 2011. Emanuel served until 2019 after deciding not to run for a third term, and he was succeeded by the current mayor, Lori Lightfoot. This campaign has been tough and at times bitter, and it's widely expected to go to a runoff for the top 2 candidates in April. Joining us now to talk about the Chicago mayoral race is Gregory Pratt, City Hall reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Gregory, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you very much, sir.
Also with us, Tessa Weinberg, city government and politics reporter at WBEZ, the public radio station in Chicago. Tessa, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, as ever, you can join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. What do you think of what's happening? Are you following the Chicago mayoral race at all? Do you think it matters to you? 800-222-9455 is the number, or send an email to talk@21stshow.org. So, Tessa, I'm going to begin with you. Can you just tell us a little more about some of the issues that have been top of mind for Chicagoans as they have been voting already and going into election day, primary election day tomorrow?
Yeah, I think definitely overwhelmingly we've seen crime dominate the campaign trail. Based on a poll WBZ did with its partners and what we've heard from voters on the campaign trail is crime is on people's minds. I do want to note that, last year in 2022, homicides did decrease in Chicago, but it did follow, a spike in crime and a rise in crime that we saw during the pandemic that I think lots of cities have been grappling with. So that's really been the defining issue of Mayor Lightfoot's opponents really vowing that they will get crime under control. And whether that's, kind of putting more resources to the police or, as one candidate, businessman Willie Wilson says, taking the handcuffs off of them. But we've also seen lots of attention on other issues like the economy, how to, rejuvenate downtown after the slowdown we've seen during the pandemic, education, health equity. There's been a lot of talk about mental health issues and access to mental health services. But definitely, I would say crime is what we've overwhelmingly heard from voters about. That's their top issue this election.
Gregory Pratt, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Maybe you can give us a little more information on some of the candidates we were talking about. And I don't know who you want to start with. Paul Vallis has certainly been getting a lot of media attention.
Well, there's the mayor, first and foremost. She's been the mayor for 4 years. She's our very tough, very pugnacious mayor. She fights with a lot of people. She says because she's standing up for the city and its residents, and other people say because she can't get along with people. There's Paul Vallis, who has undergone a very incredible transformation. He was written off last time. He came in 9th in the 2019 race. He's run for a lot of office, but he's been able to transform himself into somebody who speaks about crime in a laser-focused way and has been able to emerge as a credible candidate for the first time you know, since he ran for governor in 2002 and lost. Then there's Brandon Johnson, who's the left wing Chicago Public Schools, Chicago Teachers Union leader, who is running strong. And there's Chuy Garcia, who pushed Rahm Emanuel into a runoff 8 years ago, but hasn't been able to recapture quite the same magic. And those are the serious the most serious people in the race.
Where do these candidates stand? You mentioned Tessa mentioned crime is a big issue. You said Paul Vallis has sort of defined his campaign on that. Where do the other candidates stand on that?
Well, you know, the mayor says we're making progress and doing better, and the stuff that happened wasn't because of us anyway. The crime increases wasn't because of us. It was because of broader factors. Chuy stands on a middle ground that the police department needs new leadership. You know, the mayor had hired a man from Dallas, David Brown, and Chuy and other candidates say they'd get rid of him. Paul says our policies are too restrictive on cops. You know, there's a bunch of rules on when and how they're allowed to chase people. And then there's Brandon Johnson says he's the only one who takes a very different approach. Which I think is true. You know, he talks about we spend too much on policing and we don't and we've been getting bad results and we need to do something different. And so he's the only one who is taking a truly different approach to that, whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah, no one's really wearing that mantle, at least anymore, of that defund the police, right? Which was an oversimplification anyway. But you do have that. You know, sort of, I guess, that shade of the spectrum represented.
Yeah, no doubt. That's you know, and Brandon has been a very clear defunder in the past, and now he says that he won't cut the police budget. And of course, you can hear two things in that. You can hear, you know, he's changing his policies, or you can hear he's lying to get elected.
Interesting. Interesting. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the mayoral race in Chicago. The primary is tomorrow, Tuesday, as we are going to air. And this is part of an ongoing series we're doing here on the 21st Show, looking at various mayoral races across the state this spring. We're talking about this with Gregory Pratt, who's a City Hall reporter at the Chicago Tribune, and Tessa Weinberg, city government and politics reporter at public radio station WBEZ in Chicago. Tessa, in the past, it strikes me that there have been times when members of various voting blocks or issue coalitions, ethnic coalitions, progressives, the African-American Democratic establishment, and so on, they've coalesced around one candidate so as not to dilute their vote in the primary. That does not seem to be happening as much this time. Let's listen to some tape from WMAQ-TV. This is NBC Channel 5. It had a candidate forum earlier this month.
Look, no one has more of an incentive for the city of Chicago to work for Black people than someone who is married to a Black woman, raising Black children on the west side of Chicago.
Brandon Johnson, please stop lying about the lived experiences, because you don't have any. And I'm actually living them each and every day, and you are a fraud. So please stop lying to the public and the city of Chicago. We are actually dealing with this each and every day. My friends are constantly being killed in our neighborhoods.
Congressman, come along with me to the 10 communities where we are making a tangible difference in concrete ways. I know you don't know Black Chicago that well. And
I live on the west side, man. I live on the west side.
Thank you very much.
I live in K-Town. Maybe you don't come there from Logan Square.
We're going to move on to Paul Vallis.
All right, that was Brandon Johnson opening with Jamal Green responding, followed by Mayor Lightfoot and Congressman Chuy Garcia. Tessa, what do you make of this divisiveness in this year's primary?
Yeah, I think we've seen, you know, racial politics really come to the fore, especially in the final weeks of the election. And I think it really speaks to the candidates really jockeying to build, you know, multiracial coalitions, which is necessary, you know, in a city where it's, you know, roughly a third white residents, Latino residents, and Black residents. And so I think especially in recent debates, that's what you've seen with people, candidates really kind of making their pitch about why they can best serve the Black community, why they're maybe most connected to the Black community. You know, we saw Mayor Lightfoot take some heat earlier this month when at a campaign rally on the South Side, she said that any vote coming out of the South Side for somebody not named Lightfoot is a vote for Chuy Garcia or Paul Vallis, basically saying if you want them controlling your fate and your destiny, then stay home, then don't vote. You know, she later said she misspoke, but, you know, it kind of got people up in arms a little bit. And I think there's been questions and discussions around, you know, with 9 candidates in the race and with some of that, 7 of them Black, will we have a Black candidate in the runoff? And questions of, you know, does the Black community, you know, need to coalesce around, you know, one Black candidate? Some of the candidates like Cam Buckner or Willie Wilson have said that's kind of a racist trope. And then others have noted that, you know, because there's only maybe one Latino or one white candidate in the race, that might, you know, be serving Vallis and Garcia as well. You know, others I've talked to, though, have noted that, you know, it's not just about race. There's also other factors like, you know, ideology at play. For example, you know, one political science professor I spoke with noted that when it comes to the kind of more conservative lane of the race, that it's a wider lane compared to the progressive one, with Paul Vallis and Willie Wilson really running to the right of Lightfoot when it comes on tough on crime stances. And so there's just simply kind of less competition on that side of the aisle compared to there's a lot more progressive candidates. So, yeah, I think it's a really interesting dynamic. I think there's no doubt that race is part of the equation and the factor we're seeing in these pitches from candidates, especially as they tout trying to be, you know, that multiracial coalition builder. It's something we've heard Chuy Garcia say a lot as he's harkened back to, you know, his roots under Harold Washington, who was the city's first Black mayor. And he's really evoked his name a lot to try to say that, you know, he will not just be representative for the Latino community, but he wants, you know, the African-American community support and wants to be someone that can represent all of Chicago, which is something I think has been echoed by many of the candidates.
Yeah, it's interesting because Garcia was tied in with Bernie Sanders for a while as well, although he also has connections to former House Speaker Michael Madigan. So maybe a positive and a negative among some voters there. You know, I want to focus in on something else, Tessa, you said, which is, you know, Paul Vallis may be standing out a little because he's being seen or being portrayed as the most conservative Democrat among the bunch. And Gregory Pratt, can you talk more about that? Like you mentioned earlier, he ran for governor in 2002 in the Democratic primary, lost to Blagojevich. I'll be honest, being based in Springfield covering the state house, I hadn't thought all that much about Paul Vallis in the last couple of decades. But is he a conservative? Is he a Democrat? What say more about that?
So Paul would tell you that he's a centrist and a moderate, and his critics would tell you that he's a right winger. And I think that the truth is probably in the middle of what they're saying. You know, Paul has always been somewhat conservative on things like school choice and vouchers for private schools, which is very controversial for Democrats. In recent years, he has taken up a lot of criticism that the police department has too many restrictions on officers and he wants to improve their morale and let them do more work, like with the chase policy, where he thinks that there are too many rules on them. What's harder for Paul to explain is his associations with some really conservative people. If, for instance, you know, he went to Awake Illinois, which is a very conservative group that you know, thinks that sex education is child abuse and things of that sort. And they're very far to the right and they're very extreme. They called the governor a groomer, and he spoke to their group. He said it was a mistake, but he had previously gone to their group and he said that their president should run for governor. You know, Democrats don't really say that. And his people will explain that by saying, you know, Paul's just a nice guy. And if you were given a speech, he'd just say, oh, well, you know, Greg should run for governor. Greg should run for mayor. It's a nothing compliment coming out of his mouth. And, you know, some people buy that explanation and some people are like, well, you're hanging out with the very conservative Fraternal Order of Police. You're hanging out with Awake Illinois. You're hanging out with Jeannie Ives, the very conservative former gubernatorial candidate who took on Bruce Rauner and said he wasn't conservative enough. So Paul needs to answer for those questions. They're fair questions. But what Paul would tell you is that he's a centrist and the you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Interesting, interesting. Tessa, do you have anything to add to that? We have about 30 seconds before we're going to a break.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, you know, evidence recently when, you know, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis was invited to speak, you know, to the FOP. And, you know, Vallis was kind of having to walk that line. And he, you know, expressed his appointment in the police union inviting DeSantis to speak and, you know, said that, you know, his views, the governor's views, you know, do not align with his own. So I think it's something that we've had to seen him increasingly having to wrestle with of having, you know, the support of maybe more conservative groups like the FOP and then still trying to walk that line of saying that, you know, they maybe don't represent, you know, or the people they associate with don't necessarily represent his values.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation after a short break. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number to do so, or email talk@21stshow.org. We're talking about the mayoral race. The primary is tomorrow. Early voting has been underway for a while now. We're talking about that with Gregory Pratt of the Chicago Tribune and Tessa Weinberg of public radio station WBEZ. This is the 21st Show. More to come. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about mayoral races around the state all this spring. And the latest in our series is focusing on Chicago, where the primary election is tomorrow. We're talking about this with Tessa Weinberg, city government and politics reporter at WBEZ, the NPR station in Chicago, of course, and Gregory Pratt, who is city hall reporter at the Chicago Tribune. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. And Greg, you've done some reporting about super PACs. Sometimes referred to as dark money, playing a much bigger role in this election. Say more about that.
Well, so there's three big super PACs playing in the mayor's race. One supports Chuy Garcia, one supports Paul Vallis, and one supports Mayor Lightfoot. And the difference between them is that the first two, the ones for Vallis and Garcia, are doing dark money, which means that they're accepting money from donors and hiding who the donors are, which is somewhat complicated, but there's some loopholes in the law where you can do that. The one that supports the mayor is disclosing its donors, and the reason they created that committee was that so they could get money from people who do business with the city, because they can't give directly to Mayor Lightfoot, but they can give to a committee that supports Mayor Lightfoot. Yeah, it's for you listeners shaking their heads or scratching their heads, you know, it's a pretty crazy system.
Yeah, and you're not, technically, these super PACs are not supposed to coordinate with candidates, right? Like, they're supposed to be some sort of brick wall in between them?
That's right. They're not supposed to talk to each other, but the way they get around that is they post little messages on their website, and they post, like, material on their website that if anybody out there would like to help us out, this is the message, and these are the pictures, and these are the videos that would be very nice if somebody out there who we're not talking to goes ahead and uses.
Mind-blowing. Tessa, does it seem like we're likely to have a runoff? Can you talk about, I know we don't, we're not, you know, we journalists don't like to do predictions, not asking you to do that, and we don't have crystal balls, but what is the conventional wisdom out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, most people, including the candidates and Mayor Lightfoot, all think a runoff is, you know, all but assured. It does not seem like any of the candidates, especially just with such a wide field with 9 candidates in the race, would be able to earn, you know, more than 50% of the vote tomorrow. And so I think it's really been a battle for, you know, who is going to be in those top 2 spots. You know, that is something, too. We've seen a really high turnout so far in terms of early voting and mail-in ballots. And the Chicago Board of Elections has, you know, cautioned reporters of, you know, they still might have thousands of mail-in ballots to go through come Election Day. And so we, you know, if it's looking really close, we might not know that night. And so to kind of be prepared, I think where we might see maybe even closer races would be more of the aldermanic races. But yeah, it definitely seems even though Election Day is tomorrow, we're in the long haul for a whole nother month of campaigning. So,
Yeah, and I want to come back to that aldermanic one in a minute. But Greg, what does it say that all these mayoral races are going to runoffs in Chicago in recent years? Whereas, you know, I think a lot of us who came of age with the one and only Mayor Daley, and of course, a lot of our parents came of age with the other Mayor Daley, that it's become so much more competitive in recent years.
Well, one of the phrases I've always liked was, just because you shot the sheriff doesn't make you the sheriff. Or just because you shot Jesse James doesn't make you Jesse James. And Mayor Daley was Mayor Daley. You know, the system with runoffs was created in 95, and nobody was ever able to push Mayor Daley into a runoff because he's Mayor Daley. And then Rahm Emanuel came in 2011 as the sitting president of the United States' chief of staff, and he was hard to break. But in the years since, you're seeing a lot of concerted effort to transform Chicago politics. So it's not just dependent on one man or one woman. And you're going to probably continue seeing that as the city continues to develop, because it's not, you know, the sort of one person rules all leadership that we've had in Chicago for decades is not normal anywhere else. There aren't really, the Daley family doesn't really exist in New York City or in LA, where you have different types of political legacies and dynasties. So I think you're going to continue to see it change as we get further away from the Daley dynasty.
Tessa, you mentioned city council is also up for election. How is that city council's makeup likely to affect whoever is the next mayor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think city council's at an interesting crossroads. You know, so all 50 wards are up for election, but we've seen a wave of retirements and resignations. I believe, you know, our last count, it was 16 incumbent aldermen have left or are leaving this term. And so there's a lot of turnover. And I think groups, you know, on all kind of sides of the political spectrum are really looking to seize those seats, whether, you know, the Democratic Socialists or more progressive groups want to capture that, or kind of some more business-minded groups who want to kind of, you know, they say they want to kind of elect aldermen who, you know, can do, you know, get pragmatic things done. And so I think, you know, all those groups jockeying for more seats and more power on council, it's going to be a really interesting dynamic to see, you know, who maybe picks up the most seats and then which kind of mayor we have in the office, to see whether, you know, it's going to be a combative relationship, if they might be aligned on certain issues. And so I think, you know, what the next mayor can accomplish is also going to be in part determined by what our city council really looks like. And so that's I think, another interesting component that we'll see how it plays out tomorrow.
You know, Tessa, I think I mentioned at the beginning, we're a downstate focused radio show. And I imagine some of our listeners might be wondering why the Chicago mayoral race matters to them. So I guess I want to ask each of you, and Tessa, I'll start with you. Why should downstate Illinoisans care about what's happening in Chicago politics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we did a lot of coverage of this mayoral race focused on kind of the issues driving the election. One of them was the economy. And I think, you know, the kind of overwhelming response when talking with different stakeholders and experts was that Chicago is really the kind of economic engine of the state, and that for the future of the state, you know, they feel like Chicago itself also needs to, you know, be on the right track to be thriving, to be a place people want to come to and live. So I think that was one sentiment. And I also think, you know, this election is kind of a microcosm of what lots of big cities have been dealing with amid the pandemic, these, you know, unprecedented challenges for mayors and officials and leaders. And so I think it's kind of a test of just, you know, where voters are in the pulse of having to, you know, deal with a pandemic, a rise in crime, those things, and how they're kind of feeling about all that.
Greg, what do you think about that? Why should people outside of Chicago care about what's happening in Chicago?
Well, everything Tessa said is true. And it's also true that Chicago is the economic engine of the state, and you should care about what happens in the biggest city in your state, because it can mean a lot of things to the rest of the state. You know, what happens in Chicago ripples elsewhere. Alderman David Moore used to say that when Chicago sneezes, the rest of the state catches a cold. But the other flip side is that you should care about it. If you don't care about the substance, you know, you should care about it for the same reason you watch a soap opera, which is it's kind of entertaining.
Fair enough. Well, Gregory Pratt is City Hall reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Tessa Weinberg covers city government and politics at WBEZ. Greg, Tessa, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st Show.
so much.
Thank you.